and we read together from the Word of God, first of all, from the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Throughout Advent, we've been looking at the names of the wonderful child in verse 6 of chapter 9. So we read three verses there, and then read a parallel passage which speaks of Christ in his peacemaking work in Ephesians chapter 2. But first of all, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Verse 5, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. And a description of Christ's peacemaking work in Ephesians chapter 2. And we read from the 13th verse. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one. And the us means, first of all, God and man, and then it means Jew and Gentile, and then it means man and man. He is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing in his flesh the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby bringing the hostility to an end. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, the Gentiles, and peace to those who were near, the Jews. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. And so then, you are no longer strangers and sojourners. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built into it to be a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen, and may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. To his name be the honor and the praise. Yes, it is. In our series of Advent messages on the four names of the wonderful child in Isaiah chapter 9, we think this morning of the fourth of these names, the Prince of Peace. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And I want to speak this morning about the threefold peace that the Christ child came to bring men. And can I say two important things by way of introduction to this theme of Christ's peace? The first important thing is this, that the coming child is seen by Isaiah as the Prince of Peace in chapter 9. But in fact, the sort of peace that Christ brings to men is one of the great and the lasting themes in the prophet Isaiah's greater message. The whole background to the promised peace in this chapter is a background of warfare coming to an end. Listen to these words from verse 5. Every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in battle blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. In other words, there are going to be bonfires of all the accoutrements and the paraphernalia of war. All the things that men use for killing each other with are going to be piled up and made into bonfires. All the boots and the uniforms and the flags and the banners and the guns, they're all going to be burned when the Christ child comes. As Isaiah might say today, all the bombs and the nuclear missiles are going to be dismantled, and all the silos with their atomic warheads are going to be filled in, and all these other ghastly accompaniments of modern warfare are going to be done away with. And that background of war coming to an end is the background of the promise of Christ's peace. And the peace of Christ is a message that is hammered out right through the whole book of Isaiah. For example, in verse 7 of this same chapter, Isaiah says, of the increase of Christ's government and of his peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of his peace, there will be no end. In other words, what Christ comes with is endless peace. It's permanent peace. Peace that cannot be broken or taken away from you, or shattered or shaken by the wars that invade our lives, or by the troubles or the afflictions that come into our lives to torment us. What the Christ child comes with is a peace that cannot be shaken. Of the increase of his peace, there will be no end, a peace that cannot be broken. In chapter 26 and verse 3, Isaiah speaks about the double peace that the Christ comes to bring. Thou wilt keep him in peace, peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. Double peace. Peace outside yourself and peace inside yourself for those who trust him. Thou wilt keep him in double peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. In chapter 32 and verse 17, Isaiah speaks about this peace of Christ as being the fruit of being justified by faith, the effect of righteousness, he says, will be peace. That can be translated, the effect of justification will be peace. The end result of getting right with God through Jesus Christ will be peace. In Isaiah 48 and verse 18, the prophet speaks about the peace of Christ as peace like a river, rich and relentless and flowing, an irresistible peace. Peace like a river. In Isaiah 52 and verse 7, Isaiah sees the evangelists of Christ as men who bring glad tidings, who publish peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Peace like a river, double peace, peace that is the fruit of being justified by faith. All these are the benefits and the blessings of the coming of this wonderful child. And that theme of Christ's peace is hammered out right through to the end of the book of Isaiah. The second important thing worth noticing is this. The child is called the Prince of Peace. And that's a very special idiomatic phrase. For example, when Isaiah speaks about Jesus as the Prince of Peace, it's not quite the same thing as us speaking about the Queen of Great Britain or the King of Siam, because Britain and Siam are geographical areas. They're kingdoms, they're territories. And when Isaiah speaks about Christ as the Prince of Peace, he's speaking about peace as an abstract noun. And Christ is the Prince of it. He is the Prince of Peace. It's the same sort of idiomatic expression that you find in these phrases. Christ is the Son of Righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the Lord of Life. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. And what the idiom means is this, that the quality or the blessing or the abstraction is headed up in him, and he is in charge of the thing that is mentioned. He sums up the abstraction. And when Isaiah says that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, what he's saying is that peace is part of Christ's largesse as a prince and a king. And the picture here is of an Eastern monarch doling out his bounties and his blessings. And the prince hands out his blessings. And part of his largesse and his open-handedness and his open-heartedness is the largesse of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is in charge of it, and he hands it out to men. And there are really three movements in the peace that Christ comes to bring you. Can I speak about these three very briefly this morning? First of all, there is an upward movement, there is an outward movement, and there is an inward movement. The upward movement is Godwards, because there is a Godwardness in the peace of Christ. The outward movement is manwards, because there is a manwardness in the peace of Christ. And the inward movement is selfwards, because there is a selfwardness in the peace of Christ. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with yourself. And absolutely fundamental and crucial in these three is the first, the Godward movement of the peace that Christ comes to bring. Peace with God is the heart of the gospel message, and it is the essential forerunner of everything else in the Christian life. A man who is not at peace with God through Jesus Christ cannot be at peace with his neighbor, and he cannot be at peace with himself, because peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, this upward peace, is the first thing. And therefore, the first part of the Christmas message is that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was born to set us right with God and to bring peace between you and God. And the gospel word for this is the famous word reconciliation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a message of reconciliation. And Jesus in the gospel is pictured as the reconciler of man with God. Receive the reconciliation is the invitation and the challenge of the gospel message. Listen to these verses. Peter in Acts chapter 10, he's preaching to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, and to his household after Cornelius had been converted to Christ. And Peter says, "You know the word which God sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." The word which God sent, good news of peace by Jesus Christ. Listen to these words from Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. That grand conclusion that Paul sets to the end of the first four chapters. He says, "Therefore," because of these first four chapters in Romans, "therefore, being justified by faith, being set right in the eyes of God by faith, therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And there you have the great upward movement of the gospel. Peace with God, between God and man, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or take this a summary of the gospel in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul says to the Corinthian Christians, "God through Christ has reconciled us to himself and has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. And therefore we beseech you, be ye reconciled to God." Get right with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to God this morning. Make your peace with God this morning through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or as Paul says in the passage from Ephesians which we read, "He is our peace." Get right with God. And that's the upward movement of the peace that the Prince brings. And the second movement, which is the outward one, is a peace that hinges on that, because not only does Jesus Christ bring us to God, he brings us to our neighbor and to our fellow man. The upward movement says, make your peace with God and be reconciled with him. The outward movement says, make your peace with your brother. Make your peace with your neighbor. Make your peace with your relatives and be reconciled to them. And that too, that outward peace, is an integral part of the gospel. You see, all the piety in the world and all the religion and the religiosity in the world and all the religious devotion in the world cannot correct or disguise a wrong attitude to our brother. Listen to these words from the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking here in chapter 5, and this is what he says in the sermon. I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, to his brother shall be liable to hellfire. And so, if you are offering your gift at the altar, if you're in the church doing something pious and holy and religious, and you remember there that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there. Put down your gift in the church. Leave your gift there. And go and first be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Make friends quickly with your accuser. What Jesus is saying is, leave your religion. If there's something wrong between you and your fellow man, never mind your religion. Set aside your piety and your devotion and get right with your brother, because peace with him is an integral part of the peace that is handed out by the prince. And the third kind of peace is perhaps the hardest kind of peace of all. At least, I find it so. It's peace that is inwards. It's the selfwardness of Christ's peace. It's being at peace with yourself. In my pastoral work, I must say that I find many people nowadays who simply cannot accept themselves. They can accept God, and they can accept Jesus, and they can accept the Bible and Christian teaching, but they find it very hard to be at peace with themselves. And I often hear folk like this saying in private, well, you know, I really can't accept what I've become because my parents were so hard on me in my early years. And to be quite honest, I had such a rotten upbringing. I had a dreadful teacher at school who used to make me wretched by making a fool of me. My friends have all dropped off and left me high and dry. And I simply cannot accept myself. I cannot be at peace with myself. And that kind of attitude, you know, breeds bitterness, even in Christians. I've known Christians to go sour and hard and vindictive because they don't enter into this third peace. I've known Christians, and I know Christians, who allow themselves to be cold and hard and loveless and unattractive because they don't find it in them to be reconciled to themselves. And the simple truth about people like that is that they're at war with themselves. They can accept being reconciled to God. They can accept being reconciled to their fellows. But they need to enter into this third dimension of the peace of Christ. Can you accept yourself under God? Can you accept yourself with your limitations and your problems and your frustrations and your weaknesses? And then can you allow the grace of God to work inside the limits of your personality? Peace with yourself, acceptance of who you are and what you are. And that too is a blessing that is handed out by the Prince. You see, the message of the gospel in all its breadth can be summed up very simply, and it's this: when Jesus came, and when Jesus died, and when Jesus rose again, God said that the war was ended. It's the end of the war. And in God's eyes, a truce has been declared. Now you must take advantage of God's truth by getting to know the truce maker better. Get right with God. Enter into peace with God. Get right with your neighbor, a relative, a brother that you've wronged, and enter into peace with him. And then look into your own heart and get right with yourself and have peace with yourself through our Lord Jesus Christ. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the preaching of his word.